Hi, everybody. This is Rita Prazeres Gonçalves, linguist and senior talent management consultant. In this podcast, I have conversations with language professionals who are willing to talk about their experience, their knowledge, and their strategies to navigate the ever-changing language industry. This is also a space where I can learn and share my insights. I have been working with LSPs, enterprise clients, and freelancers for over 20 years, and my main focus is talent management for the localization industry. Let's get to know some of the most interesting people in our field: translators, company owners, association representatives, and community builders. This is The Language Worker. This podcast is also available as a video cast on YouTube. Hi, everybody. So very excited today because we're here with very special ladies who work in a very interesting area in what comes to translation, right? So it's like the luxury brands, the lifestyle brands. I mean, I cannot wait to know more about this. So I asked Laura here to help me put together a group of people who would be working around these areas so that we could have a conversation and have a on what they do and how they do it and why they do it and all of that. So just super brief presentations. I already talked to Francesca, so I'll start with her because she's Francesca, not Italian, right? So we started having this conversation. So just a little bit about yourself, what your specializations are and where you're from and you know that those basics those basics informations.
Hi, good morning, Rita. I am Francesca, as you said, not Italian in the slightest, I'm afraid. I am based in beautiful Yorkshire in the north of England, and I translate all sorts of materials, generally marketing type materials from German and French into English. And these could be for clients who are enormous multinationals, or they could occasionally be private clients, small boutique agencies, trade shows. It can be a whole range of different things.
Yes. So then we go to Laura just because I have it in this order in my screen, right? I don't know what you guys see, but what I see here is like Francesca and then Laura under Francesca and then Natasha. So we'll go with that order. So Laura, thank you so much for putting together this group of people, and we will have more episodes about this same subject since we know that other people are interested. So thank you so much for that and just a little presentation.
My pleasure. So, hello, Rita. Hi, everyone. I'm Laura Jones, and I'm a French and Spanish to English translator and English to Welsh translator based in South Wales and the UK. I specialize in beauty and fashion, lifestyle, luxury translations, and I also coordinate the ITI Beauty, Fashion, and Luxury Network.
Yes, that's why she was the right person to actually invite other people, right? So, sorry about that. So then we have our Natasha. Natasha and I have been exchanging messages about other subjects, but it happened this way, right?
Yeah,
This is the
so
first time we're talking face to face, let's call it.
I'm Natasha. It is, so I'm Natasha. I've been a professional linguist for about close to 3 years now. I work on a range of texts, but I mainly work on luxury marketing, education, and spiritual themes because that's my background. And yeah, as Rita said, we've been exchanging a lot of conversations about spirituality and such things. So yeah, I'm really excited to be here today.
Yay, thank you. So I always like going back because the idea is to understand how you actually got to where you are right now, right? So going back to Francesca, when did this whole start? But not the necessarily what you do now. So the whole translation thing in your life, languages in your life. I mean, being British, being interested in languages, very interesting to me.
Right,
That you
well.
actually choose to go into this path. So what happened in the beginning when you had to decide what you're going to do in life? Were you a little girl and obviously not Italian, immigrating to the UK? That's not the case. So how did this happen? The whole,
Well,
working in languages in your life in general.
yes, yeah, so ever since I was a child, there were languages spoken around my house. My parents are very musical, and so they would play Chopin, they would play Schubert. There would be languages, Italian, French, German, always European. in the environment in which I was growing up. So when we would sit down, there would be wine on the table, and my father would pick up a bottle and say, "Oh, it's Portuguese," and he'd read that.
Luxury already.
Oh, well, absolutely. Not that I got any at that age. But the whole of my childhood was shaped by having influences from other parts of Europe, just as part of the everyday life. And I went off to university to read languages, probably, you know, subliminally inspired by this. And I, at that point, had no intention of becoming a translator whatsoever. I had uncles and aunts who were translators. I even had a grandfather who spoke seven languages and had been translating for 30 Wow. years. However, it didn't occur to me that that was the path I would take. I thought, oh, now I want to go into advertising. Mm-hmm. Off I went, and I went and worked in advertising, and then I decided to switch careers and work in marketing. So I worked in both of those for a few years. And eventually, I think the pull of languages was just getting too strong. And a couple of other things in my life then happened, which meant that actually I decided marketing wasn't really for me in that format. So I decided to ditch the career in marketing, go back to university for my master's in translation. After which I set up as a translator and decided actually I quite like this, but I also miss my marketing, so I'm going to specialize in areas to do with marketing things, but in other languages. And okay. So those two strands so of like, my life worked very well.
Going to match very, very well, and this is what I'm going to do. Wow.
Well, on paper, it looks a lot more logical than it was in real life.
Yes, I know how it is, right?
So, and then I just love what I do. So it's been a great decision for me to do that.
Mm-hmm. I believe you. So Laura, was it a similar story? Did you have a family like that, very interested in cultures, classic things, Portuguese wines, or none of that?
Well, I mean, my mother certainly enjoys holidays and wine, but that's another story.
It's a luxury part.
Yeah, my background is, so I grew up bilingually. My parents didn't speak Welsh, they're English speakers, but they chose to send my brother and I to a Welsh medium school. So all of my education was from through the medium of Welsh, and I've spoken it since I was 4 or 5 years old. So my first introduction to languages was, I guess, in the final year of primary school, where we had a weekly Italian class. Italian student would come in and sing songs with us. So that was kind of my first taste of a foreign language. And then in high school, I studied French and German. I enjoyed them. I seemed to click with languages. So I carried on through GCSE and A-level. I also studied Spanish outside of school because we holidayed a lot in Spain when I was younger, and it just seemed a really appealing language to me. So I then read French and Spanish at university and did my language degree. And after graduating, I was looking for a job where I could use my languages. And I was lucky to find a job in Cardiff at a school travel company. So it was a travel agency specializing in educational travel, organizing school trips for British teachers. Really fascinating job, loved it. But I was there for 10 years, and towards the end, I thought, right, I'm ready for a change now. I need to do something new. So I went back to university and did a master's in translation. And I was lucky enough to find my first clients quite quickly. So I made the move quite organically. And then with regards to the beauty side of things, I mean, I've always been obsessed with beauty. I worked in Superdrug as a student. So that's a British health and beauty store, sells skincare and, you know, makeup. It's sort of similar to Sephora, I guess, but not, well, maybe different side of the scale. But yeah, so the obsession started there. And when I went into translation, it didn't really occur to me that you could specialize in beauty or fashion or luxury goods. So it's that part of it kind of happened by accident for me. The first agencies I worked with started sending me those kinds of projects. I clicked with them, and yeah, it's kind of gone from there, really.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It sounds very simple, very obvious.
Behind the scenes.
We're going to get into the details a little bit later. So, Natasha, I suppose you haven't had the time to work 10 years at a specific job, right? Or have
No.
you? Am I wrong? So, what happened
Well,
there? Were you also born into a multilingual family, or not so much? This is all from your head, or is it coming from somewhere, the inspiration?
so I grew up bilingual. Well, to be honest, my family immigrated here into London after the war. So we've been settled here for about 2, 3 generations now. And yeah, we grew up with multiple languages. So we spoke a local dialect, which is Napoletano, which is from the region of Naples. And then we spoke Italian as well and English. And so it was kind of like 3 languages in one house. And naturally, I just gravitated towards languages and language studies, and I carried that until university, where I studied French and Spanish. So I eventually picked up about 4 official languages, so English, Italian, French, and Spanish. And I thought to myself at university, okay, but what am I going to do with these languages? And I thought, okay, either I go into teaching or I go into translation. And I went into teaching and I was good at it and everything, but I felt, let me go into translation because I'll regret it if I don't. So I went into translation and I was really lucky to have a job with Publicis Group where I worked as a translations editor. And I worked on text for over 120 organizations, but I specialized in marketing, especially for luxury brands. So that's my main field. But I also have a background in education and spirituality as well, because I practice spirituality on the side as well in my personal life. So that's how I kind of tied all these things together. But yeah, my languages, yeah, they came about through studies and through family, basically.
Wow, that's really lucky, because that's not what happened to me, obviously. Because in my family, we're all 100% Portuguese. My family is not very interested in going to school or pursuing studies in general. So for me, it was a little bit more of a, just a private practice for me. Well, everybody knows I became a Madonna fan at a very early age, and that's really what inspired the whole thing. So she's always with me there somewhere along the way. I always talk about her. So that's what happened. So it's not as exciting as your stories, right? So Francesca, like you said, everything sounds great on paper, but it wasn't only that, right? So what happened when you actually started, decided, okay, this is what I'm gonna do? So how do you set up this practice? How did it happen? Was it long ago, like 10 years, 15 years, or was it more recent? Because
Well,
it makes a huge difference, right?
it really does. I switched over to translation as a career in 2010, so for almost 14 years ago, which feels like an absolute age, and I feel ancient. But no, it's been a fascinating journey, having seen the sort of the work that comes in, how people work, the different collaborations that you can get now with Google Docs, and if the client, if you're working with a client who's happy to let the translator and proofreader work together, you can be a fantastic
The
team.
dream, right?
Absolutely. And the client can pop in as well, because if it's a Google Doc, everyone can see everything. And so you can leave notes for each other. I find that really a great example of collaborative practice.
But in 2010, it was not so flexible, right? Not necessarily.
No, it was much more, I suppose, having just come into the industry, I didn't really know anyone else who was a translator apart from a couple of family members, but they were working in different languages, so it wasn't terribly relevant. So I had to start finding clients, which I did by using Corinne Mackay's tip, which is essentially when you first start out, you just focus on bombarding as many people as possible, hopefully people who want to be bombarded. Try and get on board with as many people as possible, try different things, do a bit of pro bono work. I did some for an art magazine. I'm a big fan of art, and so I managed to get some pro bono work for them, translated a couple of their magazines, which was great experience at working with a client and discovering what they needed. And I think also having worked in an office environment for so many years, I also understood a little bit about how you communicate with a client. I mean, certainly if I'd speaking for myself only, if I'd started as a translator straight out of university, I would have been so naive, so green, and so unable to talk to clients, I think. I just learned a huge amount through working in a business with other people, the relationships, the politics, how to just talk to people and communicate, and how to stick deadlines, which I'm really, really hot on, because that was always drummed into me, you know, you do not miss a deadline. This is just unacceptable. So in 2010, I was contacting loads and loads of different people, and it took maybe 3 to 6 months to start getting some repeat work, and slowly that built up and up and up. I like to think I had a couple of lucky breaks with friends from my degree course who were able to help, you know, say, oh, come and help you with this client. So that was great. You get to work with them. And some of those clients I still work with, you know, 12, 14 years later. So I think you build it up gradually. And I read loads of business books by people like Chris Durbin, Corinne Mackay, and websites, and her thoughts on translation websites, great. And so all these different materials I use to help build up a business. But up until the last couple of years, it's always been, I suppose, a fairly private business, in the sense that nowadays the market's changing. And I think my aim is to pivot a bit and start being rather more entrepreneurial about things, look for a slightly different client base, and just think about things in a slightly different way to how I have been over the last 10 years. Which, you know, I think a lot of translators are in that position at the moment, and we're just reconfiguring, working out a few new strategies.
So what about you, Laura? When you realized this could be a career and that you could mix business and pleasure, like I always say, does it even work any other way? Guess it doesn't, because you cannot stay for the long run if there isn't something pulling you, right? From the heart, I would say. So how was it? Did you contact people? Everything, well, things started happening, but were you also proactive? Did you create your profiles on, you know, the whole bros.com circuit? What was it?
So I did have a profile on pros.com. That's kind of where I started out. And I was really lucky. I found my first major client very early on, which enabled me to leave my previous job, because I was receiving regular work. So this was an agency based in Barcelona, and they sent me a lot of the work I enjoy, the beauty, the fashion stuff. But I made the mistake of relying too much on one client in the beginning. I was receiving big volumes of them every day, you know, they were a really good client, but unfortunately they didn't pay an amazing rate.
But were you aware of that already, or did you think this was just normal?
I was aware, but I don't think I realized how little I was being paid and what I should have been charging. But unfortunately, the Spanish rates don't really align with what we need to be earning here in the UK. Obviously, the cost of living is lower in Spain, so the rates reflect that. So I was working long hours, and, you know, doing very good work, because I pride myself on the quality of my work, my standards. But I was thinking, you know, I'm really working long hours here. I'm not earning what I feel I should be. And then I realized, oh, you know, I'm undercharging. Unfortunately, that client, although they did raise their rates somewhat, they couldn't really match what I wanted. So kind of parted ways since then. In the beginning, I wasn't that proactive about finding new clients, because I was receiving enough from this one and a few others. But more recently, you know, as Francesca said, the profession is changing. We're under a lot more pressure now, particularly monetary pressure. You know, it's hard to find good clients that will pay what we consider a fair rate, or what we need to be earning to make an honest living. Because we are, you know, skilled professionals after all. It's taken a lot of hard work to get here. Now I'm sort of looking to the future and seeing what changes I make to be able to make my business sustainable, you know, find the right clients that, you know, find the clients that align with my values, and we're able to, you know, that we're on the same page in lots of ways. So yeah, it's a time of transition, I think, at the moment for me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's these days, people have to be a lot more proactive. I guess there's a huge difference between, let's say, 2005, 10, even 15, and what happens now. And I guess this is across the industry, no matter in which position you're in. So I guess our Natasha is coming in again, having technical problems. Let's see if she shows up. Okay, I don't even know if she can hear us. So yes, here she comes. There you are, somewhere else. So we have, this happens to me every now and then, that I have to have myself in another device, and then there's multiple windows with my photos and names, and so this is normal, right? Everybody has seen it on the podcast in other occasions. So Natasha, we were just, I don't know if you could even listen to what we were saying, but so I was just asking about how proactive you need to be. So you work for an agency, is it full-time? Do you also do freelance work apart from that? Do you work with them all the time, or there's other things that you need to do in order to keep your business going?
So I worked as the translations editor for Publicis Group until this month. So this was my last month working for them. And I'm now taking on freelance work. So I'm really looking forward to working with
also,
clients
you're a
directly.
New freelancer. I've been looking for new freelancers these days, and here she is.
Yeah, you found
That's
one.
Great.
You found one. The decision was mainly to have more autonomy with my clients and my work and my work-life balance. And I really wanted to, I was good with, you know, transcreation, copywriting, copy editing. So I thought I really want to focus on that instead of other tasks as well. I really want to hone in on my talent. So that's basically what I chose to do, and that's why I'm going freelance.
So what have you been doing? I mean, you have known this now for some months, I suppose. Were you kind of preparing for the plunge, taking the plunge, as you say? Or is it now that you're finishing your work there, that you're trying to reach out to new clients? What's been going on?
It's more of the latter. So I'm trying to get new clients. I'm very involved with different associations, like the one that we have here, the Luxury Beauty ITI network. And I also am a member of different organizations as well. So we have Women in Localization, which is a really great association as well. And there's another association called Linguisticamente, which is an Italian association for translators and interpreters. And so it's all about getting involved with the community, networking, and trying to find those clients that would really benefit from my services.
For sure. So have you created your pros.com profile? Have you been being the, you know, tweaking your LinkedIn profile lately, ever since you're more on the market as a freelancer?
Yeah, I mean, pros is definitely useful, but I feel like talking to people, seeing who's out there, who's available, what other platforms I could be on, that's what's really helped me. And also I have my own site, so I have my own website where people can get to know me a bit better and get to know my experience and who I am and how I can help them. I also have my own Etsy store where people can just pop in, and if they want to buy a product, they can.
A translation product?
I have one translation product at the moment. But it's not literally a translation service. It's more material for translators. So, you know, like having a profile. Sorry, not a profile, a portfolio. And yeah, I'm trying to work on that because I really want to give back to the community and back to translators and linguists, especially during this time where, you know, machine translation and AI is very prominent. So yeah. Definitely, I'm still working on that, still working on creating an actual image for myself and being present in the community. But yeah, it's getting there.
Wow. So we're talking about the entrepreneurial side of things. And I guess this is how, because she's coming in this era of this trend, right? So it's interesting. So Francesca, we haven't talked about one of the main subjects that got us together. So what is, from your experience, your eyes, your views, your head, obviously your personal interpretation of what this is, what is a luxury brand?
Right. I think,
just
well,
a personal take, obviously.
Yeah, I think to me, a luxury brand is something that makes you feel a little bit out of the ordinary, gives you a little je ne sais quoi of feeling extra special. It's something you treat yourself to. It's not an everyday item. So it's that really, really nice face cream you get when the client pays 20% extra because it's a rush job. Or, you know, it's the car you hire for your wedding day because you don't drive around in a Bentley every weekend, but hey, it's your wedding day. You can jolly well get what you want. I don't know. A luxury brand for me is one that successfully brings across the idea that this is more than just the object. This is more than the sum of its parts. It's something that exudes a feeling of whatever the feeling they want to give, where it's pampering or looking amazing or driving the best vehicle, whatever it is, it makes you feel more by just offering you what is essentially an item, but it's not a Ford, it's a Bugatti.
Yeah, I like that. So Laura, why did whomever had the idea of getting the network, of creating the network, why did you think that beauty and luxury deserved like also a special luxury place where people could get together, people had this subject in common, could get together and do something as, you know, dedicated people you are to this particular area of business?
Well, our this network is quite new. I mean, we've only existed for 2 years, I think. So it came about, Vicky and I, Vicky Porter Burns is the co-coordinator or the deputy coordinator of the network. We were chatting at the ITI conference in Brighton 2 years ago at the gala dinner, and we were talking, you know, we realised we specialised in the similar areas. And, you know, we said how we were talking about networks and things and how, you know, there wasn't really a dedicated one for beauty. So we both specialise in beauty. And we thought, well, why don't we set up our own one then? Why don't we, you know, talk to the organisation and see if we can set one up? So we thought, well, beauty is quite niche. And although there are lots of beauty translators, maybe, you know, we could add fashion and luxury to it, because these areas are kind of connected. And often, you know, you might have a luxury brand who offers makeup or luxury creams as well as, you know, a scarf or a shirt. So we thought, okay, we'll lump them all in together and create this network. And it's, you know, over the last 2 years, it's gone from strength to strength. I think we've got about 130 members now. And the purpose of the network is to, have a dedicated group where we can, you know, support our colleagues, where we can ask questions on terminology, or, you know, different translation approaches. We also organise a lot of CPD, so webinars on specialist topics. For example, in November, Natasha's doing a workshop for us on luxury cars and translating, you know, automobile. So that'll be interesting. So yeah, the purpose is just to, you know, support our colleagues and offer a space where that's useful, that, you know, that benefits everyone. And of course, another benefit is that we do get, you know, you get work referred from other colleagues then in working in different language combinations. So yeah, for me, it's been a really beneficial project, and hopefully it'll keep going from strength to strength. Seems to be a lot of appetite for it. So.
If I can be really cheeky and just jump
in,
I'd like to say that Laura's network, as I'm now going to call it, is probably one of the most useful of all networks I'm in. I just think the beauty network is incredible. I literally want to go to every single event. So, you know, well done, Laura and team.
Thank you. That's really kind. Thank you.
Now you've touched one of my very sweet spots, because I am obsessed with cars. They don't have to be luxury cars, okay? I like cars that actually put everything together, as I like a family car. So one of those station wagons is my favorite car, right? Station wagons. I've had station wagons for many years, and I want to keep on going into this route. But I have to say that I understand that there are station wagons and station wagons, especially now that even Porsche has station wagons and everybody's into that. So I guess I'm not the only one who feels like station wagons should have a prominent presence in the world. So this is, I wasn't expecting this, so but I have to ask. So Natasha, why? Why are you someone who will present something on luxury cars? So, what's your relationship with luxury in general, and then focusing on the cars? Because I'm going to have to be attending this no matter how. So, we'll talk about it.
Thank you. Yeah, we look forward to seeing you at the event. It's in
Yes.
November and it'll be online. And basically, I got into luxury whilst being a translations editor. And I had two clients in the luxury automotive industry, and I worked on text for them, and it was really interesting. But I've grown up with cars my whole life. Like, my dad and my uncle are both mechanics. My brother's a mechanic and he specialized. And for John itself, so my surname means blacksmith, so he who works with metal. So it's kind of in our DNA to be with cars. But I've never cared for ordinary cars, if I could put it like that. Like, I only like muscle cars and luxury automotive as well, and high performance cars as well. So like motorsports. I feel the time it takes to produce those cars is a real investment. And you can just see it in the bodywork and the engine. I can go on.
Yeah, so I love it, trust me.
Yeah,
This is
but
amazing. Wow.
that's how it came about. Yeah, that's how it came about. And then yeah, I've been part of the luxury network that Laura created for quite some time now. And it's been a really great experience. I've been able to attend so many events that have been helpful, and just knowing that there's a community out there who specialize in this, it's been more of how can I put it? It's validated me doing my work, and it's encouraging as well. So yeah, thank you, Laura, for all your efforts in making this network and providing these
It's like I didn't do
opportunities as well.
anything, as she obviously did, right?
It's not just me, it really is a collaboration. Vicky and Claudia, our colleague, we all work hard behind the scenes. It isn't just me, so I can't take credit for it. But also, the input from members. Before Christmas last year, we sent out a survey, asking what members would like to see, what we can do to help, what kind of events they'd be interested in. And that really helped us, have an idea of what subject matter, what events would be useful to members. So it really is collaborative. It isn't just one person. It's, a lot of us working together. And we couldn't do it without the members. So
Yes, my head
it's
is
not
now
just
racing, I have to say, because
me.
it was actually my first attempt at having a blog was about cars, and but I think about cars from that, from luxury cars or not, how features are we looking for, especially in the woman-oriented domain, right? Because the way that the world is conceived, the cars are some sort of what they say, the boys' toys or whatever. So for me, that's something I cannot accept, because just yesterday I had problems in my tires, and the car was saying you need to, flat tires, whatever. And I'm like, oh wow, and I have to do it myself, right? So it's not because I don't have any men handy or anything. So it's everybody's business, right? Because it's a machine with whom you create such a relationship. At least I do. I talk to my car, I think about the car a lot. Right, I have my dream cars. I read about cars. So I was going to the dentist for many, many years, because a lot of fake teeth and all sorts of problems. Have a podcast episode about that with the dentist who's a translator. And the truth is that I spent the hours in the waiting room reading about cars. Right, so I love discussing features and prices and models, makes, all of that. So I'm just already going crazy here. So coming back to Earth, Francesca, do you, probably it never happened to you, or maybe it has, that you've had one of those clients for cars. But what kind of items do actually come your way? What kind of clients, in the sense of, is it more perfume? Is it more, you know, is it like a Chanel mashup where you have the perfume and the fashion? I guess that's where the idea, Laura, comes from, of just getting it together, because usually a brand that started as cosmetic line or whatever actually becomes a bigger brand and has fashion, or the other way around, right? But I guess it was, I've heard that it was created by Chanel, the idea of creating some sort of thing that was not a garment created by her, but the common people could actually wear easily because it was much, much cheaper and it was still the Chanel griffe, right? So that's what I heard. Maybe it's not true, but I'll search your network to see if there's any info on that. But so, Francesca, what kind of items, brands, not the brands themselves, but what kind of objects, what kind of items, what kind of, is it experiences, what kind of work comes your way in that sense?
Well, it can be a whole range of different types of work. Back in the spring, I worked on a fantastic job, which just gave me so much pleasure. It was translating a magazine, a marketing portfolio, sorry, marketing brochure for a company that did luxury train travel. So you enter this train and you think, oh, it's a train. How interesting can that be? But oh my goodness, it's like going to a palace inside a train, a palace on wheels, and you are served your meals at your table. You have your suite with sofa and a bed, all on a train, and you spend 4 days on this train being hampered within an inch of your life. And there are washing facilities, clearly. You just have everything you could want. Champagne for breakfast, which is an excellent plan. And
mimosas, right? As they do, yeah, as we did
fantastic.
In California.
So that was great fun to work on, because it wasn't even just the experiences. It was the decor was beautiful silk jacquards, and then the pictures, they had proper artwork on the walls. So it was all made to be a really 360 luxury experience. So that was great fun working on that, and just looking up these different artists. And then getting sidetracked and looking at them for hours and then trying to come back to the translation. So I really enjoyed that. And then I also work on the social media marketing posts for a German footwear brand. And it may not sound very easy to think of lots of new creative things to say about lots of types of autumn shoes, but somehow I love their marketing team, right? Because they come up with the most fun wordplay in the German. And then I have a brilliant time playing around with all the possible associations in English and coming up with English wordplay. I love it. It's almost like translating poetry, because it is, you have to be really, really buzzy and creative and think about how the brand wants to come across. So that's great fun too. Mm-hmm. And then occasionally I'll get a sort of project where it's maybe for a skincare retailer, and they will manufacture their own beautiful organic products that I just lust after. And they are just delightful, beautiful, poetic expression, very mellifluous language. And it's just the lyricism with their products that I just love. And then that's great fun to work on as well. So it hasn't got wordplay, but it's got very beautiful flowing text. And I just love the interplay of all these elements. The musicality is something I come back to again and again, whether it's the musicality of a social media post where it's all fun, yay, 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 or is it the long flowing text you get in the brochure? So that's the sort of thing I often work on. Well, those are what I really, really enjoy.
Well, I know. Just yesterday I was recording another podcast episode. We're talking about the fact that sometimes you work on some projects and it's like, you don't even remember that you're working anymore. You're just reading that stuff. You're so interested in the subject or the way it was written or whatever it was. And you're like, oh yes, I'm working on this, right? So this is the best. And this is, like I say, business with pleasure. I say it needs to be present for things to really work, right? So Laura, what about you? So you're a beauty person, right? But do you go away from pure beauty and also go into other brands. That, you know, have other types of objects or experiences?
Yeah. So I describe beauty as my bread and butter, right? I do translate beauty, but I also translate for a few jewelry brands. Now, jewelry is another passion of mine. I love jewelry and gemstones and anything pretty. I'm a bit of a magpie, okay? I love anything sparkly. So, yeah, those are dream projects for me. They can be, simple product descriptions for a website, more creative marketing texts, press releases, and so on. So, I really enjoy translating for jewelry brands. But one thing that fashion translators in particular will know is that when you're translating, product descriptions, you really do need images of what you're talking about, what you're translating about. Otherwise, you could, go completely off the mark. So it's lovely to be sent photos of these jewelry pieces before they released. And or do you know what? If I won the lottery, I would spend all my money on jewelry,
Now
jewelry
we
and
know.
travel alone. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe the others find that translating about such lovely products and goods, it's really not good for the bank balance, right? Because for the more affordable products, then like your skin creams, for example, often I've ordered them after translating about them because I just have to try it. So
You became a client for your client, right? Yes, I
exactly.
understand.
So it's really dangerous, but enjoyable too.
Thing is so good, it attracts even you, right? Oh my God, I love it. Yes, I can only imagine you winning the lottery and then going back to your portfolio, right? And like, oh, I translated this one. Let me go get this.
One of those.
I know this catalog very well. I want one of these, right? So yeah, I can only imagine you. So Natasha, apart from cars, now I'm not gonna even sleep well. Everybody knows, the people who know me well know that I talk a lot about cars and think about them a lot, maybe more than I should. But I actually live in one of those cities in Portugal that, which is considered the one, for example, with more classic cars. With yeah, there's a lot of, if you have exclusive models, they usually come here first. So yeah, because there's a lot of in the industry around here and also related to cars. So here it's a very well-known place in the country. We actually have at the end of September the biggest meeting of it's the biggest car show in Portugal is actually here, right? So you have the exhibition for classics, and then you have also the dealerships coming to bring their latest models from, luxury or not, everybody's present. But you have here like a city where people have a great relation with cars. So for me, it was like fascinating to find this out. I didn't come here because of that, but in the end, for me, it was like ideal because it's true. Every time I want to know what's happening in terms of new cars, luxury cars, then it's just to go to the parking lot at my kids' school. So that's it. That's all I have to do. So it's a pretty big thing here, the whole car thing. So Natasha, if you want to come, you already know. So what else, Natasha? What else goes on in the luxury fashion beauty department in your life apart from cars that were already in your blood? So other things, other objects, other clients, what else do you usually do?
So I've worked in terms of luxury. I've worked with luxury jewelry brands very intensely. And then I've always wanted to go into luxury events, so hotel experiences, travel experiences, but I never had the occasion to. So I feel like I'll definitely venture into that one day. Perfume, I've never had the opportunity to work with perfume, like luxury perfume, but I've always wanted to. And yeah, I think those are my curiosities of luxury, but I do specialize in other areas as well. So, like I mentioned before, spirituality, education, but just general translation. Like, if you need someone to work on your transcripts, if you need someone to quickly check, or well, not quickly, but thoroughly check your social media posts or what you're going to put out on your website, I can do that. So, I work from Italian, French, Spanish into English because that's my native tongue. And I've been doing that for quite some time. And yeah, but I do have a real speciality for luxury. It's just the beauty of it all and how creative you can be in that field because it's heavily dependent on transcreation and you need to be really precise with your languages. And like Lauren mentioned before, we get the exclusive preview to all the products, all the services. And you really do build an intimate rapport with the client because you have to understand their voice, their brand, the minutiae of their product as well. How would they like a certain word to be translated? And that's what I love. I really love building those rapports, having that clear communication, and being very in tune with my client to the point where I see myself as an extension of them. So yeah, that's basically why I love luxury above everything else. It's just the dedication to that field from start to finish is just amazing.
Well, it's really inspired to listen to all of you talking about your work because, you know, all of you are very poetic in the way that you talk about your work. So I guess this is how you really see it, right? From this perspective, or also being like in awe the whole time with the materials that you receive and the relationships that you create with these clients. I'm having my most creative experiences now in the latest 2 years or whatever, in the last 2 years. And it's been strange to me. I always considered that was something that, why would I go for this, for that? And then somehow I was actually agencies from the UK have contacted me in the last 2 years or so. And I started doing things that are a bit more creative because I'm usually very terminology oriented. And it's been, and I understand what you mean, because also you receive different types of information from those clients that you wouldn't receive for your regular translation work, right? So it's true that you get a much better overview on the whole company, the whole concept, what's behind this product, who they want to, you know, what they want to achieve and to whom they want to cater, right? So it's all of that. So I kind of understand it a little bit, right? Because I've had this experience recently too. So Francesca, your dream, I'm sure that you have worked with many of your dream clients, but your dream client, if you could manifest it right now, and I'm going to ask to the three of you, so if you want to start thinking about it.
Gosh, that's a big question.
No, right? But I'm always like, I don't know who's going to listen, so.
I absolutely love when I get the chance to work with a museum. I worked with on a collaborative project back in May sometime, I think it was, with a group of translators. They are a collaborative unit and they brought me in because one of their team wasn't able to do the work. And so they brought me in a backup plan. And right. We were working together on a big exhibition for a Swiss museum. And the texts were just so interesting. I learned an incredible amount about the history of this particular place and the characters and what sort of things happened in the town over the course of these years. And it was just fascinating. I find anything to do with museum exhibitions or artists, you know, I had a job that I unfortunately couldn't take on because of the timeline, but it was a history of Rembrandt's paintings, his self-portraiture over the years. He painted many, many self-portraits and he painted them in every possible detail, but uglier each time. And that would have been amazing to work on that. Sadly, that one didn't work out because I was on holiday. Mm. But that sort of thing really grabs me. So it's not just marketing, it's learning as well about different places and people.
Yeah, it's a privilege of the things that we do, right? No matter what it is about, sometimes I don't do things that are as elevated necessarily. But yes, I understand that. It's a great opportunity for us. And I always say, even if you have a specific area that you'd like to specialize in, but you actually take on other things that show up in your life, this will always prepare you for the next job, right? That's how I feel. That you, everything that you do will prepare you for the next project. And you never know where it's going to come from, right? Sometimes you think that I would never do X, and that's exactly the thing that will show up. You don't see how you would be selected to do something like this. And then all of a sudden it happens. But I guess in your case, it's a little bit different because you already have somehow a path that would easily, right, get you into those specific areas, right?
Yeah, I think I would summarize it by saying any job or client that appreciates beauty, whether it's the beauty of the language, the beauty of the product, the way it's been manufactured and crafted, those are the things I really love working on. So if I had to put it in a nutshell, that would be that sort of thing.
Sounds very good. But Laura, has this client manifested? Sometimes, well, I've had my dream job when I was 21 and it was a disaster. So sometimes things happen in strange ways. So has it already manifested? Are you, do you still have this dream client that never happened in an area or a product, or all of them actually fit this somehow, this profile already?
I find it really difficult to narrow down just to one dream client because I've got so many interests in different areas. So a few months ago, I did some work for a very well-known luxury French hotel. I can't name names, but
of course,
it was such a lovely project.
We will just imagine.
It was fascinating to get to know the brand and to learn more about their, you know, their heritage, and it was fascinating. So yeah, more projects like that, luxury travel, luxury accommodation, that would be amazing. I mean, alternatively, like I said earlier, I love jewelry, so someone like Van Cleef and Arpels, you know, proper fine high jewelry, that would be amazing. Or a fine fragrance company. I quite like brands that do something a bit different, you know. So any, you know, new startups with taking a different, you know, angle on a fragrance, mm-hmm. you know. I'm open to everything. I'm not, you know.
Her eyes
I'm
are
not...
like.
yeah. But like Francesca said,
Sorry.
I think your ideal client is someone that aligns with your values, right? So who appreciates beauty and quality and who cares as much as I do about my work. That would be the dream client.
Okay, that sounds reasonable. Sounds like a luxury to me to have clients like that, right? So Natasha, what about you? Is there like a car brand that you'd be like, oh, I'd love this because they're muscle cars, because they're amazing, because they're very popular, because rappers have these cars, people in the music industry. So what would be the liaison, the ideal thing for you? Is it in the cars domain even that you have your dream clients?
I would really like to continue my work like with luxury automotives and beyond, especially with Ferrari, because we both have the same surname. It both stems from blacksmith. So it would be more personal to me if I could have the opportunity to work with them. But what I've learned during my 3 years of being in this industry is to have clients who align with you. So who are on board with you. At the end of the day, onus on translation quality involves everyone, from client to the translator to the reviewer. So I really love working as a team, being, you know, part of a team where everyone's on board, everyone's on the same page, everyone's helping one another. That's what I really value, and that would be my dream client. So whoever aligns with me and has the same work ethic as me, has the same dedication as me, same appreciation as me, that's who I want, and that's who I want to work for. That's who I'll be really happy to work for.
Mm-hmm. So we got our Natasha to name names, right? So Ferrari people listening,
if you're listening, I'm here.
Well, I would love to know about that too. I mean, just to look at any materials that would come from a client like that, right? Even obviously I'd love to have, I mean, I'm going to be present in this event if possible, if I'll ask our Laura here how this is possible. And I will ask also how other people can either join or be a part of the events that you do, or do you guys have a newsletter? Is it in the works? Is it more through the LinkedIn page? How do people find you and get to be a part of this unbelievable project that you guys have going on?
So the ITI Beauty, Fashion and Luxury Network is open to all translators and interpreters. You don't have to be an ITI member to join. We charge an annual membership fee of £12, which I think is quite reasonable. And for that, you get access to a lot of shared documents. You know, we share a lot of resources in our email forum. And also, up until now, we've been able to offer members free access to the webinars, so you don't have to pay. If you're not a member and you'd like to join one of the webinars, that's fine too, but you will have to pay the fee. So it is, you know, in your interest to join because you'll have access to these
I better
perks.
join.
So we've got a LinkedIn page, ITI Beauty Fashion and Luxury Network, and the information about joining is on there. So if you follow that page, you'll have updates on, you know, upcoming events and things. So yeah, we're a friendly bunch, and you know, we'd love to have more members, so please check us out. Everyone's welcome.
Very nice. So final round, here we go with our Francesca. I just wanted to get the information about the network going on so that we're sure that it's present. But Francesca, so what's happening now? What are you guys, I've got the questions for everybody. So what are you doing right now? What kind of projects are you working on? And what's coming in the next year or so in terms of your projects, entrepreneurial mindset? So website, if you already have it, if you don't have it, so all that stuff.
Lots in a word. Today I was working on a job for a new client, but they needed to keep one of their very long-standing clients happy, and they had the CV of one of the board of directors and said, look, we absolutely have to have this morning, can you do it, please, 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 please. And thank goodness I was able just to fit it in this morning. And
so she has already delivered work this morning.
I have already delivered a very happy client this morning, thank goodness. But yes, so in terms of what I have planned, I am putting together a website, which is a work in progress at the moment. And I have got getting a list together of events I want to attend for networking. I've got trying to aim to get at least two networking events a month. A little challenging sometimes with family life, but this is the aim. And just to try and branch out to reach a new audience through my website, which I will be blathering on about as soon as it's actually ready. And yes, I would like to take an optimistic view of the future. I don't believe there is going to be less demand for translation, but I believe it's going to be harder to get to it directly. And I think the future lies in translator partnerships and being inherently entrepreneurial, seeing ourselves truly as businesses and therefore acting like that. And as Natasha was saying, really, really important to have that collaborative side, that networking side. I think that is absolutely critical. I know that a lot of translators haven't had to work like that so far, but I think going forward, that is going to be really the only way forward if you don't want to become part of the MT engine, which personally I'd rather avoid. Other people have different views, and that's fine. So the future for me, website and possibly a newsletter with that, I'm not sure, we shall see. But just generally continuing to work with a fashion magazine that I'm working with this week and next week, and a toy manufacturer that's sending me some stuff, I think the week after that. So yeah, still lots of focus on marketing pieces. I haven't had too many Christmas pieces in yet though.
Okay. So what about our Laura? Any jewelry on site right now?
No, certainly not. I'm actually going on holiday next week, so I'm winding down now. So I don't have any more projects lined up for the foreseeable, but like Francesca, I've got a new website in the works. So I just paid a deposit yesterday, so this is all very new. So hopefully before Christmas, I'll have a lovely shiny new website, live advertising my services. But yeah, I mean, after holidays, hopefully I'll come back refreshed and ready to go, and it'll be, yeah, marketing and all the, you know, the business activities that you have to do as a freelancer, and then we'll see what comes in.
So yes, for sure, sounds exciting now that I'm joining the network and everything else to see. No, I'm actually going to be a member, because to be honest, the reason why I had some years ago, I had a project where I had to do a big glossary for wedding gowns. Right.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So I did go through that experience of looking at the catalogs and, you know, kind of creating everything from scratch. And it was, there were a lot of codes involved for each one of the parts that composed the final look and all sorts of things. So I thought it was like, whoa. And it's true that it was very exciting, but obviously it was a terminology oriented project. And it's from this perspective that I would like to be present so that I can, you know, learn from you guys, because it's such an interesting and it's such a direct to person, let's say public or consumer, but to person, right? So it's terminology that is going to have an impact on your overall experience of the object, the product, and everything else, right? On the whole experience of the luxury brand, the object itself, the experience that you will have. So I think it's really, really a great bet. And we'll need to talk about this a bit further, right? So what about our Natasha, our young Natasha? What's happening right now? So are you just too busy working on moving from working for an agency to just being a freelancer, or are you actually working on a few projects at the moment?
So it's a bit all over the place at the moment. I am focusing on being a freelancer just because I don't have any other opportunities at the moment, but I'm really open to everything and anything. You know, my life has changed so much in these past years, ever since I've graduated, well, ever since I got my BA, really. So I'm open to every type of opportunity possible. I just really want to be somewhere where I'm appreciated and that I can use my talents. That's the main focus, whether that will be a full-time job, part-time, a freelance, I'm not sure where the direction would go, but that's definitely what I'm open to at the moment. So the focus right now is freelance, but yeah, definitely open to more possibilities and more opportunities in future. And I've had a lot of people come up to me asking, okay, well, I'm starting out in the industry as well. How do I go about it? And my main advice would be to have patience, you know, just take time with your decisions and everything. And if you need to get, I don't know, a 9-to-5 or even a part-time job on the side, do that whilst you're still interested in pursuing a career in translation or interpretation or whatever side of the linguist industry you want to go into. So yeah, it's definitely about having patience right now and seeing how I can help people as best as I can. Right now I'm working with Lingüísticamente, so this is an association for translators and interpreters. And we have an event for International Translations Day, which is on the 30th of September. So that's something exciting that's coming up. And yeah, I have this other event with the ITI Luxury Network. So that will be in November. And probably some other stuff will come up in between, because I'm always sure. Looking for opportunities. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, right? So this is how to start and to continue. It's not starting these days, right? I feel like we're starting every single day because things are changing so much. We're finding new parts of ourselves that we didn't know before, and they come out and then they work out. So just as you say, be a little bit patient, and just because the water seemed very unstable at certain moments, if this is what you love doing, if this is the thing you think you're meant to be doing, you have to hang in there, because there's always, you know, hope and good things coming. That's just the way it is. It's always been that way, and now it's no exception in my perspective. Okay, guys, this was amazing. I'm very inspired, thinking about cars and all sorts of things I should be thinking at this hour of the day. But this has been amazing. So I'm sure we'll talk more about the networking, the events that you have, because we have other ladies coming somewhere before Christmas, I'm sure, to talk about this not subject, because it's always their opinion. Obviously, it's very, very different. But along these lines of the beauty and fashion and luxury brands. So good luck with everything. I will see you around. And thank you very much for this. This was amazing and inspiring.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.